Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. I'm actually in Dallas because this failed miserably last night. Battery issues with the podcast. Final score of the Thunder game. Thunder beats the Suns 118-102. Maddie Lee is on the other line in Oklahoma City. Maddie?
I am. Round two. I hope this one we at least get a little further than the introduction and opening remarks.
Hopefully. Maddie, the Thunder had a couple of things going against them last night. The Suns were maybe the least of those things. they've beaten the Suns four times this year. Seems like they play the Suns every week. But aside from the Suns, they had some issues. Alex Abrines out with a stomach illness. Apparently the Thunder is not washing their hands properly because Terrence Ferguson also went out in the second half with what was called a stomach illness. I think these guys might just be like drinking out of the same cup or something. I don't know what's going on with these guys.
It's ridiculous. Don't let Alex take anyone to dinner because he chooses the wrong places.
Yeah.
Not that I actually know what his stomach illness is. It's probably not food poisoning since it's lasted multiple days. But
yeah, I have no clue. But bigger than all of that was Paul George. Paul George had the right quad contusion. They ruled him out basically at shoot-around. So you're facing a situation where Billy Donovan's got to make a decision. Is he going to go with, starting length in a guy like Abdul Nader or Timothy Luau-Cabarro or Hamidou Diallo, or is he going to go with starting Dennis Schroeder? And he decided to go with Dennis Schroeder, and it did not start well for the Thunder. It didn't start well for Dennis Schroeder. Russell Westbrook was fine.
He started
he had
an amazing first quarter.
He started quite well.
Aside from a few turnovers, but everything else was incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Probably the best game we've seen Russell Westbrook play, and it wasn't perfect, but probably the best game we've seen Russell Westbrook play in the entire month. He ends up getting 40 points. That's his high for the season. Shot a good percentage. Did a little bit of everything. The turnovers were high, but he didn't have any after halftime. I think he had six turnovers at halftime. He didn't have any in the second half, which is great for him. But Schroeder really turned the game for him. Schroeder was 3 of 12 going into the fourth quarter, and then he makes his first three shots of the fourth. They go on a 9-1 run, and then next thing you know, this thing is just out of control. Westbrook comes back in, and the thing just goes 18-4 run, and next thing you know, the Thunder's out of there sweeping a not very good team. Look, let's not make any bigger than what it is. The Thunder beat a team they certainly should have beaten because they've beaten this team four times before. This is the worst team in the Western Conference. This is probably the only bad team, like legitimately bad team in the Western Conference. Nevertheless, you're going into the game.
They caught something and started playing well for a bit there. They were, I think, five of their last seven they won, which, was going to end eventually.
They've been playing well coming into this game. They come off a seven-game road trip where they went 5-2 in a seven-game road trip, which is extremely impressive for any team, let alone the Suns. The Suns coming home aren't a very good team, but they did some things to make life difficult on the Thunder. They packed the paint. They really cut off some of Westbrook and Schroeder's drives in the first three quarters. Schroeder started 3-12, was really struggling with his shot. Westbrook was getting blocked at the rim a lot. The Suns have enough length and youth to really at least give somebody some things to think about if they don't have the proper spacing or the shooting to create shots from the perimeter. And they were missing that with Paul George until Dennis Schroeder kind of woke up in the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, at the beginning of the game, too, Ayton looked great. He was matching up against Steven Adams the best that he has this year, which, granted, Steven Adams has been a nightmare for him in the last couple times that they've met. So on the third meeting, figured some things out to start, but that wasn't a lasting impact there.
Yeah, and talking to Billy Donovan, you know, just to my naked eye, just watching the game first time, it's hard for me to decipher exactly what the issues are in the pick and roll when that happens. I saw some of the same things that were happening against the Jazz where, you know, the guard wasn't getting up on the ball quickly enough. And Billy Donovan actually said that this time it was the backside rotation. So that kind of falls on Jeremy Grant, being able to slide over quickly enough to kind of recover for Steven Adams playing as high as he is. I personally don't think that Steven Adams should have to play that high, and then that responsibility should have to fall on Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder and whoever's up there guarding the ball. But Devin Booker, with him having the ball, him being 6'6", can have kind of an advantage over both of those guys in terms of being able to see over the defense. But the Thunder did a better job of kind of blitzing that in the second half, sending Adams and another guard quickly to kind of get the ball out of Devin Booker's hands and cut off that pass to the inside. Again, Thunder making adjustments, doing things a little bit better than they did in the first half where they had some issues. Now, making adjustments against the Suns. The Suns don't have a real point guard. It's really easy to make adjustments when you don't have an actual point guard and Devin Booker is having to do every single thing to get offense going for them. He ends up shooting like 8 of 22, and he finishes with 10 assists, but they've really made life difficult on Devin Booker in the four meetings that they've had with him, or I guess the three that he's played in. I think he might have missed one of them. But,
yeah, I missed that first one with the hamstring.
Yeah, but the Suns are just – they really need a point guard because Booker's a guy who needs to play off the ball and needs somebody to make life easier for him. And that's kind of – it kind of exposes the luxuries that the Thunder has, that a guy like Paul George can go out and you can throw in a guy who's a starter, a starting caliber point guard in Dennis Schroeder. Like the Suns would kill for a Dennis Schroeder. They would absolutely kill for a guy like Dennis Schroeder.
They have no point guards.
They don't. No, they tried to throw.
And Oklahoma City has two starters.
Right. They tried to throw, I guess, D'Anthony Melton, the rookie, out there. They had Isaiah Cannon starting the season, who's a former Thunder, you know, camp guy. They just didn't have anybody who could really provide Devin Booker with any help on the perimeter, and it showed in the second half when the Thunder made adjustments. Let's talk a little bit about that fourth quarter. It was pretty outstanding. There was some, as you know, Maddie, going to Phoenix, it's a very unique seat compared to some of the other ones we get in the league. You get to hear and see a lot more from that courtside seat than some of the other places. I think there might only be a handful of places that still have that courtside seat for the media. I guess it's Oklahoma City, Phoenix, Memphis, Dallas, which I'll be at on Sunday night. And those are the ones that I can think of, really. And you get to hear and see a lot of stuff when you're down there pretty close
really
to the Thunder
bench.
I was enjoying
all the quotes that you were tweeting out.
No, it was fantastic. I think Phoenix might actually be my favorite place in the league for a couple of reasons. I like the city.
Walking distance from the hotel to the arena.
Yes, easy walking distance from the hotel to the arena. Good places to eat around the hotel and the arena. And then the media seat is great. And no offense to the Phoenix crowd, but when you don't have great crowds, you get to hear a lot more stuff, and you get to hear a lot more of what the coaches and players are saying. And I will say this, they had a great crowd last night, actually, but they didn't have much to cheer about once it got to that fourth quarter, and the Thunder kind of started to push it on them. But that was a fuller than normal Talking Stick Resort Arena. I just wanted to say the name again. It was
Yeah, I think you've only said it once. You had to get it at least a few more times.
Yeah, we're acting like they're actually sponsoring the podcast. Speaking of which, at the turn of the year, we will be talking about someone who actually is sponsoring the podcast. Woo! And a lot of our videos. Which, so thanks to said person, who I will practice before I actually start announcing them on the podcast. But on the next podcast, we will roll in the great person who is contributing funds to the Oklahoman, and we are partnering with them, and greatly appreciate.
Are we doing the next one? Or are we doing the New Year's Eve one?
Oh, is it? But oh yeah, there's two games. Okay, yeah, I guess it would be the one.
Same team, two games.
Same team, two games. Okay, so I guess I have another one to kind of get prepared for. Okay, to make sure I have batteries for that one, so I don't cut off in the middle of a of an advertisement.
So get ready. It's exciting news. I'm stoked.
I'm sure they are too. I'm sure all the Thunder Buddies listeners are going to come flocking to the to
we
our
have
sponsor.
To know who the sponsor is.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
we'll have the highest listening rate of any podcast on New Year's.
It's got to be.
Just for that.
It's going to be the most listened to podcast in the country on New Year's Day. You can sit at home and eat your black-eyed peas and I don't know, watch football or something and listen to Thunder Buddies. Or just don't watch football and just listen to Thunder Buddies in the dark. That's what I do all the time.
Creepy. Yeah. Super creepy.
Get out of here.
Anyways, that fourth quarter, you mentioned Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder. They combined for 29 points in that quarter. That was insane. And you saw, I mean, in the first quarter, Russell couldn't miss. He was, what, 7 of 8?
Yeah, yeah. It's and then, it's the best he's looked all year.
And then in the fourth quarter, he was just as dangerous, getting to the rim and shooting fadeaways. And it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
There was a point in the third quarter where I thought he looked tired. And we always say this, like the defense helps the offense. It helps them, you know, defense turning to offense, them being able to get out in transition, not having to work so much in the half court. That helps them so much. And I think that their defense was much more focused in the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth. And some of that, I think, was a product of the Suns probably being tired, too. They were just coming off a 7-game road trip. They were probably tired and worn out. And Westbrook seemed to get some energy from Schroeder, to me. When Schroeder started going in the beginning of the fourth quarter, you could hear Westbrook on the sideline going, keep busting his ass, keep busting. He got up off the bench. He was like, keep busting his ass. And this is the best part about the whole sequence. Schroeder scores Schroeder scores three straight. I think he hit a couple buckets, and then I think he had the pull up J to start. Then he might have had a layup and a 3-pointer or something. It was like 7 points, the first 7 points of the quarter for the Thunder. And then Westbrook gets up off the bench and he's like, "Keep busting their ass." And Patrick Patterson is setting up for a post up on the left post, and you can clearly hear Westbrook going, "Pat, move." And he was trying to clear Patterson out of that left side so Schroeder could drive baseline and take his guy off the dribble because he had a mismatch. But Schroeder fed the ball to Patterson, and Patterson turned and hit like a little jump hook, and that was like the nine. That was the end of like the 9-1 run. Like that was the 9-1 run. And as soon as he hit that jump hook, Westbrook turns around toward the bench and he kind of goes to sit down really quickly, and you can see like this big ass grin on his face. He's just like he's like, oh, okay, that worked fine. But like, he clearly wasn't expecting Patrick Patterson to hit that shot. He did not expect that to happen at all. It was hilarious. And Westbrook kind of had to sit down after that. He was like, okay, I'm not gonna tell him the move. That was pretty solid. That was solid. He made a shot. Good.
Well, Patrick Patterson was also a part of another interaction that you wrote about where Dennis didn't hit him.
Yes, that one was fantastic too, because that was a part of the run where Adams and Westbrook came back in, and Schroeder, the Thunder gets the ball off an offensive rebound. Schroeder's standing there above the 3-point line. Patterson is wide open. They had two guys open on the left wing. I couldn't remember who the other one was in the corner. Patterson's wide open, and Billy Donovan's just standing up yelling,
pass it to Pat. He's open.
He said,
pass it. Look, he's right there. Patrick.
And I'm looking at it too. I'm like, oh my God, he's right there. Just throwing the ball. He's got a three. And as we know, Patrick Patterson has struggled mightily this this entire season, but particularly in December. And Schroeder doesn't pass it to Patrick Patterson. Instead, he lobs to Steven Adams, who for some reason or another just slips past the Suns, and they can't defend him on that play. He gets a dunk. And
he also, like, it wasn't like he made a good cut or anything. He kind of just moseyed in there.
Yeah, he kind of just drifted to the rim, and nobody followed him. The Suns, at that point, the Suns were just battered. They were down 11 at that point, I think. I think they kind of packed it in, and then he just kind of just drifted to the rim, and he had a dunk, and Billy Donovan and Schroeder kind of talked about it at the next stoppage, and after the game, Donovan was like, Patrick was open, you know, but he
gave a little, like, it's a good thing that it worked because Patrick was wide open.
Yeah, that's kind of what he was saying without saying it, but he was like, I'll take a layup over a three, but Patrick was open, you know, but it was good fourth quarter for the Thunder, and it's good for their confidence from the standpoint of they've been so reliant on Paul George this month to kind of save them as Westbrook struggled, as Schroeder struggled, because Schroeder, frankly, hasn't shot the ball very well this month either. It was encouraging for them to continue to play solid defense and get their defensive issues right without Paul George, and to find some offensive rhythm without him as well. If you look at the metrics, they're actually still a really good team with Paul George off the floor and Westbrook and Schroeder on. They got some really good defensive metrics. The offense is where it really falls off a cliff, into the 90s in terms of points per 100 possession. With Paul George and Westbrook and Schroeder, they're at 114, 115 per 100, which is fantastic. So the offense needs to continue to improve. You know, you get one game against the Suns where you beat up on a tired team that's young and doesn't have a real point guard. They need to continue to do that. They need to bring that to Dallas, because there's no guarantee that Paul George is going to play against Dallas in either of these games. And I don't have any information in regard to that. The Thunder basically just doesn't know. It's essentially a day-to-day thing, how he feels with that quad contusion. You know, they were working him all through pregame and during the first half in the locker room. But, you know, there are going to be some instances again this season where Paul George is probably not going to play, or some other guys aren't going to be able to play, and they have to be able, you know, to get Russell Westbrook and Dennis Schroeder playing well together in order to kind of compensate for some of the things that Paul George makes up for offensively and defensively.
Well, and we've gotten this far, and we haven't even talked about Abdul Nader yet.
Yes, who Mr. Nader
had a breakout game, career high 18 points. And I'm just, granted, I'm going to toot my own horn real quick here, which I'm going to say other things in this podcast that are going to turn out to not end up working out as well as this. But last podcast, I did say Abdul Nader, even though he wasn't making shots, he looked pretty confident, you know, made a couple, you know, wasn't perfect, but looked pretty confident, which is hard to do when you haven't been playing. He comes in here, same confidence, starts hitting those shots, and he was fantastic.
No, he played really well, and you and Nerlens Noel are apparently clairvoyant. Yeah, because Nerlens Noel earlier on Friday was saying that Nader was going to have a big game and he was going to step in for Paul George, and I was thinking to myself, like, okay, like, because I had asked Nerlens Noel the question about, you know, how do you think you guys are going to handle not having Paul tonight? And, you know, he started talking just kind of casually about it. And then all of a sudden he just drops Nader. And I'm like, well, thinking to myself, like, why would he mention Abdul Nader of all the people he could mention, like, stepping up? He didn't mention Diallo or anybody. I was thinking that Nader was going to start because he said that. But, you know, going off of the game against Houston, clearly, you know, Nader was going to be in the rotation because, you know, Alex Abrines was out against Houston and Nader stepped in there. But I didn't expect Nader to do this. I didn't expect him to look as good as he did off the dribble. And again, you always throw in the caveat, this is the Suns. They're one of the worst offensive teams in the league. But Abdul Nader did some things that I haven't seen him do this season. And to me, that was the best part of that, is that you had another guy who can put the ball on the floor, finish at the rim. He did that twice in the first half. You know, he can hit off. He can hit shots off the dribble. He can catch and shoot, which is originally what the Thunder brought him in for, to be another guy who can stretch the floor from three. You know, 25 years old, 6'6 wing. I think his defense still needs some work, but there are enough team defenders around him to where they can compensate for him not necessarily being that strong and keeping guys from getting around him. There were some times where guys got around him last night, but that's everybody on the Thunder. Russell Westbrook lets guys go by him all the time. but no, it was a good performance from Nader. He's a guy who, you know, deserves to be a part of this rotation, and particularly since, you know, he didn't get a preseason, and I think that's what a lot of people kind of forget about with him. He's just like Russell Westbrook. He didn't get a preseason. This was a guy who was dealing with left knee soreness. We didn't see him in any of the four preseason games. He hardly got to practice in contact in preseason. He was basically off on the side working with assistants the entire time, and, you know, every day we're asking Billy Donovan, hey, what's up with Abdul Nader? What's going on with him? More and more. That's
more and more each day.
That's kind of what Billy Donovan says about guys when he doesn't know either. He's just like, more and more every day. Day by day by day. Amen. So,
well, and when he was coming back from that, he got some time with the Blue, and he was staring, like, granted, it's the G League. He was staring it up at the G League. I think he got like 22 points in the game, which now he comes against the Suns and scores 18. So apparently that wasn't that much out of the realm of his ability when he gets a good amount of time. I'm not saying that Abdul Nader should get 33 minutes at every game at all. But in the situation where they're in, where they're missing so many guys and he has to step into this role, he did fantastic. My favorite part, since you got to actually see all the interactions in person, I'm going to pull on the one that we actually got to see on the broadcast, was after, so Nader had a 3-point play, and he threw up the, like, double flex right before the and one. And so he's back on the bench, and Schroeder's like, I'm assuming, giving him,
stuff.
giving flack for it, because he's like also doing the double flex and like hitting him on the arm and stuff, and then Nader flexes that arm, and it's funny, it's cool. And then he comes back in again, drives to the rim. Another example of what you're talking about is how well he got downhill. Has the dunk and then comes down and does another double flex.
He was a lot of flexing going on last night. Those guys were really happy for him too. And you know, Russell Westbrook's a guy who he doesn't throw out a ton of platitudes and stuff like that. He backs his teammates, but he's not very. He doesn't wash over them with a bunch of platitudes and compliments and stuff like that. He's pretty just kind of even keel when you ask him about teammate stuff. He'll usually relate it to like how the team plays as a whole and how there's this whole individual thing. I'm not individual thing. This whole team thing. But he was a guy who said like Abdul Nader. He's happy for him because that guy worked hard. And that guy's worked hard in camp. And when Russell Westbrook says that a guy's worked hard, somebody's working hard because Russell Westbrook works really hard. So if he understands and he notices that Abdul Nader's working hard, then clearly this guy's put in the work and deserves to be a part of the rotation. You know, it makes you wonder why he wasn't a part of the rotation before to begin with. But, I mean, the Thunder has a tendency to kind of – come late to some of these guys, particularly Billy Donovan. He kind of falls in love with a couple of guys, and then he'll pull some guy out of the blue, and he'll play really well. Not the literal blue. Like I'm just talking about like the general blue that we talk about, this metaphorical blue. And then you'll be like, where did that guy come from? Oh, how come he hasn't been playing that guy since? Well, you got to think about it this way too. Like the rotation is. No, when those guys are healthy, the rotation is pretty deep at on the wing. You got Paul George. You got Alex Abrines. If he hits any kind of shots, he's valuable. Terrence Ferguson has been playing relatively well. He was actually playing well before he got before he went out with the sickness. He got out to a quick start and scored a couple transition buckets. You know, Dennis Schroeder's a guy who can play on the wing. TLC, Nader's jumped him. So it's one of those where I think I think Nader had a combination of the injury stuff set him back, and then frankly, in the short minutes that you saw him in, you just didn't really see much. You were like, okay, yeah, this guy doesn't look particularly strong. Doesn't look like a great rebounder. Hasn't made a ton of shots, but then he gets his opportunity and yeah, it looks pretty solid.
Well, and you had guys like TLC and Burton who did really well when called upon when they had all those injuries at the two.
Yeah, yeah. And then
and Burton can play 1 through 5. Maybe not 1, 2 through 5.
Yeah, yeah, Burton's a guy who really doesn't have a position. And again, TLC.
And TLC can play with 2 and 3, and so like,
yeah. I don't feel like Abdul Nader is this guy who can just put a stamp on and say, okay, he's the guy now, because that's never the situation with Billy Donovan. He always kind of, with those 11th and 12th guys, he's always kind of just mix matching those guys and trying to just see who he feels can match up well enough with the opposing team. And I think he felt that Nader kind of fit that, because you know he's got the size and the length, and you know they were going 4-guard lineups and 3-guard lineups, and he was like, well, I can give this guy a try. And I don't know, maybe he thought he was shooting it better than TLC at the time, but it seemed to work out. So Thunder found themselves a guy who can at least get into the rotation. You know, good performance from Abdul Nader. We'll see if he can, you know, duplicate it again over the course of the next week. And it's a big week for the Thunder coming up with, you know, four games in probably 6 days or so. So we shall see. What else did you like from last night?
I think this is such a small part of the game, but in that first quarter, when the second unit had Jeremy Grant and Dennis Schroeder still in it, that's the best we've seen them in a while. They looked really good, and a lot of it was the same thing that you're talking about, with defense leading into offense. They were getting a lot of buckets in transition, but that's when guys like Hamidou Diallo can shine, and they were really clicking. And we've seen, I mean, they've had some struggles as of late.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good look. I mean, the first quarter was their best quarter aside from the fourth. You know, they were making everything. I think they shot maybe 60% in the first quarter. And that was probably the most solid they looked, because Westbrook got off to such a great start and the scoring was balanced. And everybody was kind of playing a part. And, you know, Jeremy Grant plays the entire first. Dennis Schroeder plays pretty much the entire first, too. And Patrick Patterson gets cut out of that first quarter rotation, but he starts the second. And, you know, it worked out for the Thunder in that regard. I thought Raymond Felton put in some solid minutes, too, last night, even though he's a guy who hasn't been called on very often for the Thunder. I think the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, that Billy Donovan kind of stressed. Felton was really good in that stretch, defensively, being able to put some pressure up on their guards and not let them kind of get the corner and get that lob into Ayton. And that fourth quarter start was so important, because the Thunder didn't start the second and third quarters very well at all. They needed to get a good start to a quarter, and you know, that was kind of the defensive effort that allowed Schroeder to get out and score those first 7 points for the Thunder. So that was pretty big time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Raymond Felton playing well too allows allows you more flexibility with your rotation so that they can get in two playmakers, which is what they were missing with Paul George out.
Yeah. Are you going to the Blue game tonight?
So what?
Are you going to the Blue game?
I am.
Maddie Lee is going to have the first look at Mr. Dante Grantham. If any of you all aren't familiar, Grantham signed a two-way deal with Thunder this week. He's going to be the Thunder's second two-way now, along with Deontay Burton.
Speaking of pulling guys out of the blue.
Yeah. Dante Grantham's a guy who, you know, tore his ACL at Clemson as a senior, and that was in January. And the Thunder liked him enough to where they still wanted to bring him in. He wasn't drafted, but they brought him in and pretty much had an agreement over the summer that he was going to be a guy that they would sign to a non-guaranteed contract. Whether it was determined that he would be a two-way then or now, I'm not sure. But Tyler Davis was a guy that they signed to the initial two-way, and they waived him this week. Grantham's more of that versatile skill set that they look for, the guy who's 6'8", long, can defend multiple positions, can play some small ball four, can play 2-4. And, you know, he's a guy who shot it pretty well in a short stint with the Blue so far. In 9 games coming off of an ACL, he's shown a little bit and put up some good statistics in those games, and Maddie's going to get a first look at him.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Have some stuff ready for whenever he does end up joining the Thunder.
If and when.
Obviously, you know, with those two ways, we saw Tyler Davis once for less than a minute. So.
Yeah, it's kind of important to note that just because a guy signed to a two-way deal, it's not like he's going to get thrust immediately into the Thunder rotation. It's a developmental role. And when these teams in the NBA find two-way guys that can be legitimate rotation guys, like that's pretty unique. And it's not a thing that happens to every team in the league. You don't get Alonzo Trier's and Torrey Craig's on every team in the league. You know, it's something that they're getting more success with because of, you know, time goes on and you get to develop more and more guys, and the G League gets to become a stronger league. But it's not something to where as soon as you sign a two-way guy, that's going to be a guy that you expect to be an immediate contributor. Like, you can see a Deontay Burton in a burst here or there, but, I mean, is Deontay Burton going to be a guy who you eventually sign to a guaranteed contract so he's your, you know, seventh guy in the rotation in the playoffs? Probably not. But he can help you during the regular season in a pinch, for sure. But it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see if Grantham can, you know, really be anything for the Thunder this year. And certainly he'll be a player for the Blue, who are actually playing really well. They're one of the best teams in the G League this year.
Yeah, they've had a great season. And just from talking mostly to Burton, but also a couple other guys, they have that setup where basically they all live in the same complex, and so they spend so much time together and love each other. I feel like it's more like a that makes it more like a college team setting. You know, obviously it's very different, but more than just like we're a bunch of professionals who have families and wives and kids and things.
You gotta ask Burton about Nader. I'm sure he's gonna have some nice things to say about his old Iowa State buddy.
Also, if you didn't read that, I wrote about them when they were both going back and forth from the Blue to the Thunder together for a while earlier in the season. So dig up that throwback.
dig up that throwback. You really know how to sell those pieces you wrote, Maddie. Dig up that throwback. People of Earth. I think that about covers it. I think the most encouraging things from this game are Schroeder and Westbrook really clicking in that fourth quarter. They were you don't care who the team is. You just want to see Westbrook making shots. By the end of that fourth quarter, he was talking a lot of trash. And you can say, hey, don't be talking trash against the Suns. That's kind of ridiculous, which it is. It's good to see Westbrook confident. The Thunder needs a confident Westbrook. Not that he's ever unconfident, but it's clear that there's some times where he's in his head, and you've seen it this season. Sometimes he'll just lean his head on like the stanchion or something like that, or he'll be talking to himself, or he'll knock the chalk off the table or something like that when he's going to the sideline. And like we've talked about, not that it's a bad thing that Westbrook's thinking. I think it's great that he's thought about his game this year, and he's made adjustments to accommodate, you know, Paul being in his prime, playing really great basketball, to accommodate Dennis, to get Steven Adams more touches. I think that Westbrook has played a really good season from that standpoint of making sacrifices in his game in order for the whole and the entire offense. But when Westbrook is confident like he was last night, that takes the Thunder to another level offensively too.
Yeah,
it really does.
Well, and from Schroeder's side, I mean, we've seen him play phenomenally alongside Westbrook. I think the Golden State game at Golden State was probably the best example for that. And then we haven't seen those big bursts where Westbrook's feeding him and he's getting to the rim. And in a little while. And so it's definitely a positive for the Thunder that they've seemed to found their groove again.
For a game against the Suns.
For a second half
for a quarter against
fourth
the Suns.
Quarter against the Suns.
let's put this in a box. Let's put this in a very small box. Encouraging. Westbrook was due. Schroeder was due too. But yeah. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We will be back after Sunday night's game against Dallas in Dallas. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Share it in the new year. Let your dog listen to it. Let your sons and daughters listen to it. And we will see you after Dallas, the first Dallas game of this week. Yes!